Do you listen to Wig Radio? It's the best online radio with all-round gospel content, and it's live 24/7. Gospel of entrepreneurship, Activas Airplane, Happy Hour, Kingdom Mandate, Praise and Passion. Let's talk about it. Morning Drive, Morning Gist, and lots more. On www.wigradio.com. Wig Radio. Our programs are set to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. You can call into our programs on +234 816 444 5960 and interact with us via twitter.com/wigradio or facebook.com/wigradio. Download Wig Radio mobile app for Android, BlackBerry, and Apple devices from different stores online. Wig Radio, reaching the world with good news, transforming lives globally.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Please, let's keep standing. I'd like us to truly on our feet just honor Reverend Dr. Julius Omomola. God bless you and his wonderful wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Honestly, New Heritage Baptist Church, your pastor is not just a man of God. He truly is a humble man. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. It's my joy to be here. I will just back off for a minute or two and just allow our worship team, this is part of our team from Zaria, to just minister just a song, and then I'll come up again. God bless you. Please be seated.
Hallelujah. Are we glad to be in the presence of God? Can we put our hands together for Jesus? He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. There's a scripture that I have come to love so much. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. As being part of a wonderful ministry, Eternity Network International, we've learned to acknowledge the Lord truly and truly, to express our hearts and worship Him through all circumstances. And we've seen true, great results of truly having our path straight, because we've learned the art of honoring the Lord. And so what we're going to be doing in a few minutes is singing a song that expresses our honor and our love to God. Hallelujah.
Deserve
Glorified from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, and we give you the glory. Father, within the few minutes that we have to share, we pray that you will bless someone this morning. We pray that you will transform someone this morning. And Lord, I pray that there will be a deposit of your grace upon this precious assembly. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won the Lord. That could not hold you down. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be sharing this morning along the theme for the month. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start from verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Did I get that right? 1 Peter, I meant to say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's start the 2 Peter. And let me start from verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 2, we're reading down to verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop here for a moment. Just go back to verse 2. The Bible tells us the first information that we can capture here is that grace can be multiplied. Hallelujah. That grace, like Pastor told us, is in dimensions, and that there is a possibility of the grace of God multiplying in the life of a man. And maybe I would just define grace so that it would just guide our understanding, so that we think together. Most of the body of Christ know grace to just be unmerited access. If I asked you what grace was, probably most of us would say that the grace of God represents unmerited access. And that is a good definition, but that's not all grace is. It is a dimension of grace that talks about access. There are other dimensions of grace, like Pastor was talking about, that must be captured in that experience. Are we together? Grace represents every possibility resident in God and accessible through Christ. That's grace. Every possibility at all that is found in God and can only be accessed by the believer through Christ is called grace. The anointing of God is the grace of God. The favor of God is the grace of God. Restoration is grace. Wisdom is grace. Character is grace. Whatever can only be found in God and accessed to the, or given to the saints through Christ, is called grace. So to limit grace to just favor is not a very accurate communication. The grace of God is not just limited to his favor. Everything. I define grace as every good and perfect gift that comes from above. Every. No matter what it is. If a man on earth exhibits a dimension that is not known and given to mere men, it must have been the grace of God. Whatever the grace of God cannot make available cannot be accessed by the saints. The platform for not only our request but our victory on earth is predicated upon what the grace of God has made available. Are we together now? Very important. So the grace of God is not just his favor. Favor is very important, but it's not the only key to the kingdom. There are other dimensions. So if a man is anointed, we can say the man is anointed. It's true. But generally speaking, the grace of God is upon that man. When a man exhibits wisdom, we can say he's a wise man. But that dimension of wisdom, the Bible declares, is not human wisdom. It's not affordable to mere men. So it must have come from a dimension higher than this place. Grace is a summation, a consummation of all the possibilities in God, only accessed through Christ. You see, this is the difference between that which is gotten in the kingdom and that which is gotten outside the kingdom. The only authorized channel for receiving anything from God is Jesus the Christ. It is possible to route certain other dimensions on earth and access some kinds of wisdom. The Bible says that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. There are other kinds of wisdom. Science can provide some level of understanding. Witchcraft and demonic activities can also provide some kind of access to spiritual things. But if you must obtain what only comes from God, the door, the gate is Christ. Are we together now? It is possible that a man operates the principles of God and gets results, but that man does not have the grace of God because he obeyed the principles, but he has not encountered the Son. Remember, John taught us in his epistle that this is the record that God has given us so way. It's the life that makes possible for this grace to come. And he says this life is in his Son. So that it is only he that hath the Son that had that life. If you do not have the Son of God, you may have a quality of life that is higher than the natural man's own, but it is not God's life. God's life is only routed through the Christ. You see, the reason why Jesus Christ is the epicenter of our work is not just a religious indoctrination. He is the only door, the authorized channel. Every other person is a window, an illegal access. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. Not a truth, the truth. There are many ways, but I am the way. There is even a way that seemeth right unto a man. But he says, I am the way. Then he says this, no one comes to the Father. So if you claim you got it from the Father without Christ, how did you get there? Because the Bible says, no one ever gets to the Father except by me. Hallelujah. So the Bible says grace and peace. The word peace there is a very interesting word. It's not just the word shalom. Grace and peace is it's not just talking about shalom like a state of quietness. It's talking about a state where you are shielded from the effect of trouble. Grace, that there is an understanding you can sustain that disconnects you from the vicissitudes of life, that they lose their ability to influence your stability. Grace and peace. That is possible to be in a storm and act like it's not there because there is an understanding that has built a fortification around you. And the Bible says these two spiritual qualities, grace and peace, can be multiplied in the life of every believer. But it says through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Next verse, please. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. How many things, please? So the next thing we are considering is that all things that we have is provided by his divine power. That is the dimension of his grace allocated for giving us all things. His divine power, a subset of his grace, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That God has made available to Heritage Baptist Church. Now, you see, when God says he has granted something, whether or not your life reflects that possibility, God is still God. If God says he has blessed me and I do not reflect that blessing, my testimony is too small to make God a liar. It means I did not understand something about the communication of God or how to make that delivery reach me. Scripture declares, Apostle Peter speaking said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And may I say this, that they are not the same thing. There are issues that pertain unto life. Your bills pertain unto life. Your children's school fees pertain unto life. The issues that keep you sociologically stable are issues that pertain unto life. And then issues that pertain unto godliness, your spiritual work, your character. God is not only interested in making you spiritual, He wants to spread the reality of His influence to affect every area of your life. Your finances, your health, your wisdom, longevity, your influence within society. These are issues that pertain unto life. And the Bible says He's granted us access to that through the knowledge. Now that's the key. Through the that by these two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. My condition notwithstanding. In other words, I cannot use my condition to disprove God. His integrity has been vetted through generations. And this morning I want to guide us very briefly on how to be able to multiply this dimension of grace in our lives. When God increases you in wisdom, the grace of God is multiplied in your life. When God increases you in influence, the grace of God is multiplied. When God increases your finances and gives you rest round about, He has increased you. It says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me round about." Is God speaking to us this morning? So the Bible says that these realities are routed through knowledge. Knowledge. Please say after me, knowledge. One more time, say after me, knowledge. Please give us Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11. Jesus is teaching here and He's guiding the disciples, mentoring them on the matters of the kingdom. And then He makes a very interesting statement. And here's what He says. He answered and said unto them, because there is a reason, there is an advantage I have proposed to you. And this is why that will work in your life. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Meaning, I expect an advantage in your life by reason of your access to this information. Are we together now? If I do not know how to operate this AC, I will stand around, and because of my lack of knowledge, I will not be able to release the potential that is resident here. Someone who was part of those who fixed this has access to that insider information. So I expect an advantage when he comes. If his result is the same as mine, then it's proof that he doesn't have any advantage over me. There must be an advantage that the life of a believer communicates over principalities and powers, over our sociological sphere, that compels people to know you have received an information that cannot be gotten in school. You have received an information that cannot be gotten just in CNN and BBC. This one has to be the finger of God. Say amen. It has been given to me. It has been given to you. That means when God wants to multiply your grace, what He does is that the spirit of revelation comes upon you and opens you up to a higher vista of light. Because you see, brothers and sisters, in this kingdom, we reign according to the light and the illumination that we have. It takes more than desire to walk in dominion. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "The light shineth in darkness." The light, if it is true light, it shines in darkness. And the Bible says, "The darkness comprehended it not." Is God speaking to us? So there are things. Did you know that in God's mind, it can be that God had planned for someone in New Heritage Baptist Church to have entered a level of rest since 2017. But because you may not have the requisite knowledge, meaning you do not have the requisite grace, because that grace to enter that reality is accessed through knowledge. You don't just receive grace just by praying for grace. You receive grace by crying for the revelation component that is responsible for that level of grace. Every result in the kingdom is controlled by knowledge. Every result. Every result. And when you have the keys, you can reproduce that result again and again and again. The Bible says, "He that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strives lawfully." Nobody wins the Olympic by mistake. I don't know one champion who was surprised that he won. Is God speaking to us? That means that my limitation and your limitation, whatever dimension it comes from, is proof that there is a level of grace that is not working there. Do we agree this morning? And that is proof that we may be limited. See, having knowledge is not enough. You must have sufficient knowledge. When a student gets 25 over 100, that's F. Are we right? You didn't get zero, but you didn't pass enough. You can get 25 over 100, for instance, and you scored, you answered well, maybe one or two questions, but not enough to qualify you. So many of us are not exactly in total ignorance. That would not be fair. But the requisite knowledge to be able to score beyond that level, that threshold level that life demands, is what we do not. Can you pray while you are seated in 1 minute and say, Father, open me to a higher level of knowledge? Let's talk to God. Open me up. If I knew something, there would not be fight and quarrel in my home. This marriage is being threatened because there is something we do not know. We may have been married for a long time, but there is a system in the kingdom that is responsible for marital peace that we may not know. Lord, why is our finances? We are part of a great church. Pastor prophesies over our lives every Sunday, but it seems as though there is a dimension of your grace. There is a dimension of financial supply that our lives have not been able to experience, regardless of our jobs, regardless of our businesses. What could be wrong? I need a multiplication of grace, because when the grace is there, it speaks. In this kingdom, the grace we have is the grace that speaks. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the challenge is not God. Please understand this. The challenge, most people, you see, when we are surrounded by all kinds of pains and predicaments, we usually would just say, Lord, why are you watching me go through this? And yet we read in the Bible that all that should be given have been given. Please give us Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Apostle Paul is teaching the church in Ephesus, and he brings out a revelation that attempts to explain why, although realities have been established in the realm of the spirit, the Bible says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but our lives have not been able to capture that experience. If it's possible, please read with me, people of God. 1, 2, let's read. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Stop there. This is Paul giving us an explanation as to why, regardless of what God has made available in Christ, we are unable to walk in the reality of that experience. Notice that Paul never says it's because you are not a Yoruba person, you are in Lagos. Notice that Paul did not say it's not because of age. Notice Paul never said the explanation is tied to gender. In fact, he never even said the explanation is tied to your level of intellectual prowess in terms of your education and your exposure to the secular body of knowledge. He's speaking here that there is a kind of understanding that we have not accessed. He says, having the understanding being darkened, then as a result, we are alienated from the citizens because our hearts have been blinded. That means the real miracle we need, please listen carefully, the real miracle we need, much more than the healing of our bodies, much more than deliverance and all of this, is that the light of God comes upon our minds and there be spiritual illumination. Then you will find out that the darkness that was there was a mirage. And it's my prayer that today, among other things, God will hand someone a key, that you will hold that key and step out and manifest as if Satan does not exist. It is true. My life and your life will never change by wishing. Let me be honest with you. My life and your life will never even change by relocation. Whether you relocate to America, you relocate to Europe, you relocate everywhere. When your understanding is darkened, you will only multiply the same level of sorrow.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together, all together worthy, all together wonderful.
Hallelujah. This is someone in this church in need of restoration. This is someone in this church in need of financial breakthrough. This is someone in this church in need of speed. This is someone in this church in need of influence. This is someone in this church in need of healing. This is someone in this church in need of breakthrough. All these dimensions have a knowledge requirement to enter their reality. Now watch this. I may have the knowledge that brings breakthrough, but not have the knowledge that brings financial prosperity. Are we together now? I can receive promotion but remain poor. One truth in the kingdom does not replace the ignorance of another. It's not a key. They are keys. And all of them have allocations for the results they need. So the issue is not whether you have found a key. How many have you found with respect to the needs that you have?
Light of the world, you step down.
Here's the prayer this morning.
Open my eyes, let me see.
Sing it one more time.
You're the light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
One more time, you hear me say, can you sing it from your spirit?
Light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Is God helping us this morning? Now watch this. When the enemy comes to your life, because every time you have a key, it is light. If he sees that you already have light in the area of breakthrough, he won't touch you there, because the light shines in darkness. He comes to your finances and knows that you don't know so much except maybe the secular knowledge, and he attacks. Darkness calls Satan to a man. When he's called the prince of darkness, so when he searches for darkness, he came to Jesus and Jesus said, Satan cometh to me and does not find anything. No deep calling unto deep. When he comes to your finances, he finds out that you know so much about character. That's why you are a Christian. That's why you have integrity in marriage, but finances is zero. So here's what we do. Lord, I'm walking faithfully. I've been faithful to my wife and husband. He says, because you know something about integrity and it's working. Lord, why, since I am doing well here, why doesn't this principle just answer in my finances? And he says, not so. The kingdom does not operate like that. The kingdom is a system. See after me, systems. When you are driving, when you switch on your key, the ignition, that's one system. You don't need to touch it again. Is that true? Then you begin to engage your gears. You don't say, because I switched the ignition, the gears should engage themselves. No, it's another system. And then one system makes the car run so fast, and yet another system brings the car to a halt. If all you know is how to run, what happens when there is someone in front of you? Now, does it mean that because you don't know there is a brake in the car, the manufacturers are wrong? All in the car. Did you know that there are cars that have certain privileges that the owners of the car have not gone so far to even know what is there? It will take a stranger to say, didn't you realize there is a mini fridge in this car? And you've been sweating, I mean, you've been wasting this for 5 years. knowledge has increased. And the man says, oh, never again will I keep a drink in this car that will not be cold. You have found something. He says, I found your word. Hallelujah. I found your word. Brothers and sisters, they are life to them that find it. When you find this truth, you begin to jump like a madman and wave Satan goodbye and say, in this area of my life, it's too late. Too late. Too late. Is God speaking to us this morning? There is something you can learn this morning, precious people of God, that you will get up and say, so this is why favor doesn't come to my life. I found it. This is why people dance even when the result is not there. When you found the key, the door must open. A door does not open because you knocked. A door opens because a key opens it. As big as a door is, it's a small key that opens it. Your key can be missing, and as adult as you are, you stand in front of that door from morning till night until a tiny key that can enter your pocket comes. Because of that key, you didn't eat. Because of that key, you didn't go to the toilet. Because of that key, you left a document and missed a business opportunity. Just one key. Sometimes what you need is not many keys, just one key. This morning, I'd like you to cry and say, Lord, what key needs to open the door that is keeping me at this level? What key?
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Say it again. Light of the world, step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
New heritage, one more time, let's cry to God.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me
Hallelujah.
See.
Listen, the keys, sit down. The keys of the kingdom never come to you because you are crying. No, sir. No, sir. Sincerity is important, but sincerity is not the key to find keys in the kingdom. Let me show you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, through desire. That's the starting point. There must be a hunger. You know, whilst I sat there and I heard your pastor, I mean, you can imagine a man of God that pastors a flourishing church like this and still crying for more dimensions. I was really touched. With all the knowledge that he has and all the influence and what God has done in his life and in the life of the precious membership of this church, there still remains a hunger. That's the attitude of people who never remain at the same level, that they keep rising. The Bible says, through desire, a man, any man, including you, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It's not enough to have that desire. You must find. And the Bible says, everyone that seeketh, findeth. Meaning, if you do not find it passionately, there is an attitude that you must give to life to deliver to you the keys. But brothers and sisters, when you find that key, you stand and play life like a chess. People will look at you and say, come, why are these good things happening to you? And you say, well, it is the grace of God. Now you understand. You will not just say it's the grace of God, like I was sitting and it met me. No, I engaged it with understanding. It came from God, but my partnership through knowledge made it my experience.
He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny. He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny.
One more time, say,
He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny.
This morning's service, requires a lot of humility and meekness from us to admit that there is an area I have not seen. You see, let me tell you, humility is like a magnet. It attracts the mercy of God to you. Every time you cry and say, Lord, it's not like I don't know anything, but I admit I have tried everything I know to do in the area of my finances. Lord, I am educated. I have been a banker for 20 years, but I don't know why my life is not changing. I humble myself before you. If you don't help me, no one can help me. God says, this is a broken and a contrite spirit. A spirit that is ready to learn and grow and rise and dominate. He cannot despise. I say this with all due respect. We live in a very arrogant society where people can be entering fire and still claim they are in control. Sir, this is not the way. Look, let me don't mind all. I know what I'm doing. But you are dying. Your results show you are not getting it. Results don't have biases. They speak. If you are getting it, it works. It shows. Once you try something and try and try and it doesn't work, stop wasting energy. Just go back to knowledge first. It is through knowledge that the just are delivered in this kingdom. When you look at your life and you find out that every bad thing is happening to you, like I always say jokingly, my in-law, there is an attack somewhere. This is the signature of Satan, using different actors, but Satan, this is you. And then you don't just get angry at men and waste energy. You go back to the secret place, because it is him that dwells in the... You lock your door and you are dancing and they just call you and say, sorry, Kemi has fever now. And he said, devil, you're a liar. And you dance like David danced. You are sweating and singing. How will I call on your name and end up in shame?
No way.
I will I bow down before you and then bow down before a man? Speaking to us now, and while you are doing it, your house helps are watching you. Why does Madame always dance when there is trouble? We have noticed that Madame never complains. Every time there is trouble, she says, excuse me, and goes to dance. And all of a sudden, while you are dancing, an uncle abroad who has been thinking of who to bless, watch this now, because you are engaging the principles of the kingdom. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. An uncle just calls you and says, it's been a long time since I blessed you. Send your account number. You say, I don't have a domiciliary. I say, it doesn't matter. Send Naira. I will find a way, because God is behind it. And someone looks at your life and says, why are you always receiving? I'm suspecting since you became close to that politician. I hope God is still in heaven. No, sir. The grace of God. You see, brothers and sisters, please listen, people of God. If you don't understand this, you will be angry at happy people. You won't know what they are engaging. There are people in society who are angry that others are laughing. How are you this morning? Bless the name of the Lord. What is that? You didn't read the news? And the person say, I saw it. That's why I'm happy. You don't rejoice because you saw harvest. It is the rejoicing that brings harvest. Please listen to me. God gave me a revelation of the mystery of joy and it changed my life. I've heard our fathers of faith teach it. I've heard great people talk about joy. And sometimes I just thought that, you know, people just jump up and down, but I learned it as a secret. When you know how to celebrate in joy and praise and dance, you will beat Satan hands down. A challenge will come before you that everyone is already saying, let's prepare for this trouble. And joy will bring you out of it as though it never happened.
It's true. It's true.
For the things you have done and the battles you have won, only you are worthy of my praise. I magnify your name.
There are needless battles we are fighting in this life because we have refused to engage the key of joy. Joy is expressed in praise and is expressed in a dance. This dance you see, I don't like dancing. I don't have any relationship with dancing at all. Any area God has not gifted me, I don't even want to look at it. Bible says, let every man abide in his calling. Hallelujah. So you don't find me dancing around. And that's why even if I shake my body like this, to whom much is given? Much was not given to me in that area. So the little I'm doing is a serious, it's equivalent to your own dance and all of that. But let me tell you this. Dr. Kenneth Copeland asked the man of God, Bishop Oyedepo, and said, you claim we taught you about faith. He said, but how come you have this level of ink? And here was his reply. He said, I danced every one of these people you see. I danced them in. Like Noah opening the ark and dancing while the animals come on their own. You can dance strange breakthroughs into your life. You can sing. It's true. Let me talk to you for a minute, young people. Ask our parents. They understand what I'm saying. Almost every elderly person here knows what I'm saying because they used it to command strange victories. Strange victories. Most of us dance and sing, but not with revelation. Just dance around and waste energy. Must be channeled. It's a weapon of warfare that you praise him. This praise you see is not just about dance, but praise. Remember the nation of Israel. Every time they came and surrounded them, they would begin to sing.
You are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah.
That was the song of victory, not the song.
You are good and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you carry the PTA letter where they said the school fees has been doubled. You keep it on the ground. You carry the new rent. The landlord said things have changed. It was 1.5. You are aware of what is happening in Nigeria. Now it's 1.9. You pay it or walk out of my house. You drop it down. And all of a sudden, you begin to dance and sing. Where is the God that even brought me to Lagos without a house and kept me for 17 years? While you are singing and praising God, God is saying, you are doing this for me. Let me come. What are you saying? And he comes in his majesty. Paul and Silas, the Bible says, listen carefully, that when they caught, they beheaded James and they caught Peter, the church began to pray. Is that true? They prayed and an angel came and rescued Peter. But Paul and Silas, they learned about that testimony, and on this occasion they prayed and prayed. The jailer said, you don't know us. You think we are the same prison that you don't know us. You will pray and stay here. And he said, Peter, if we remain here, we will die. And the Bible says they sang, and all the people heard them. Suddenly,
Olowobobora is turning things around. Olowobobora is turning things around. Olowobobora is turning things around.
Sing your testimony. Listen to me, New Heritage Baptist Church. Let me tell you, most of us have never experienced the move of God that brought tears in your eyes. Where you are not connected to the person God brought. He just said, God sent me, and you stand there. Have you ever come to testify and this was your testimony? and you let your tears testify. How did this happen? You wake up in the morning and all of a sudden your sorrow has been taken away. If you don't believe this, you may never see it. Grace and peace multiply through the knowledge that joy is a weapon, a strange weapon. Praise is a weapon, a strange weapon. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Please sit down. Did you know that the first proof of depression is the absence of joy and speech? When the devil is plunging, any medical doctor here will tell you, this is a medical doctor, any medical doctor here will tell you that the signs, you find out that the people are isolated. That's what Satan does. And then all of a sudden, you just keep quiet, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when there is no joy, there is no longer strength. And a broken spirit can dry the bones. Literally, dry the bones. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood is formed in the bones. So when the bones are dried, you are already dying. That's death being administered to you. I want you to vow a vow from this morning's service that Satan, you will not see my tears again. No. 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 Please listen to me. I know what it means to be in a situation where sometimes there is no help. There are many of us seated here, right? And there are times that it is true that you can go through situations that press you. It's true.
Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles from what it seems today.
I may be singing someone's situation right now.
I haven't lost my faith. I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray.
But I have a solution for you.
But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart,
this is,
I will praise, even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will praise.
Hallelujah. Listen, I am human enough to know that sometimes life can push you to the wall where even the strongest of us will still need support. Let me tell you, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, one of our precious heads of department, a lady very, very dear to me, I loved her so much. And you can imagine the kind of ministry that God has given us, a ministry of signs and wonders, a ministry that gives life to people and all the testimonies. And this precious lady took a quick trip to go and see her elder brother, who had married one of our ladies and had given birth, so just to greet her and come back. You know how peaceful you will live if you know that? Because the Bible says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, talk to me, New Heritage. I can't make it, but he can make even his enemies to be at peace. Ask Pharaoh what happened, that overnight he gave gold and said, Israel, go. Something I do not know is responsible for the limitation. New Heritage Baptist Church, the Lord has prospered this great assembly, and we are testament of your love and benevolence. But I come this morning and propose to you that much more than what God has done in your life, he wants to do more. You believe that?
I'm going to be praying for us because of time. Let me say just one key. The prophetic. Let me just explain this very briefly. The prophetic dimension of who understand the prophetic dimension of life. Politicians understand the prophetic dimension of life. That nobody exists just as a body. There must be a spirit dimension that backs you up. Otherwise, you will never rise. A young minister went to meet a man of God. He was about being released. Never in this kingdom, when you fight alone, you have lost. He came and told David, when David told Saul he wanted to fight Goliath, he said, Saul, he said, whose son are you? What covenant backs the family you came from that can guarantee that Goliath will fall? I'm a Benjamite. Oh, you are David. Okay, the son of Jesse, you can go. Many of us are fighting the battles of life intellectually alone, sociologically alone. There is a spirit dimension to victory, and until there is a prophetic backup in your life, truly, brothers and sisters, people of God, we will never rise to certain dimensions. Jesus, the living word, was under a closed heaven for 30 years. Your Jesus, my Jesus, as the word, his heavens were closed for 30 years until he met a very strange prophet who was eating locusts and wild honey. And John saw him and said, behold the lamb. And Jesus said, that's not the issue. John said, I am not worthy to even untie the latchets of your shoe. And Jesus made a statement, permit it to be so. This is an ordinance that men never rise until there is a prophetic voice. It's a system in the kingdom established by God's integrity. No matter how skilled you are, the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. There are cheap victories that the prophetic can bring to your life. And John dipped Jesus in water. When Jesus came out, your Bible, my Bible says, and the heavens. For Jesus, the heavens were closed. And a voice spoke. If Jesus made a mistake of organizing one crusade with a closed heaven, he would have been surprised. Although the Son of God, his heavens were open. Did you know that until that time, Satan didn't bother him aside from his birth? His heavens opened and a voice spoke. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen, he said, hear ye him. Everywhere Jesus went to, a crowd followed him because there was an ordinance from the heavens, hear him. When God says, buy this product from her shop, that's the end. It will be like a charm. You will wake up in the morning and find customers lining up in front of your shop. Madam, we have been waiting. And your neighbor will say, you are using something. Of course you are. Of course you are. Of course you are. Some of the business people we have in this country will do all their business plannings. They will do all their forensics and everything. And then in the night, they now go to the prophetic dimension and says, Baba, I'm done with all those intellectual meetings. The white men are sleeping. And the man says, all right, turn backwards. A, B, C, D. And he gets up and you keep complaining, yet the door keeps opening. Because the realm of the spirit controls the physical. I have seen this in my life. If there is no prophetic backing in your life, you won't rise. Oh, it will look like you will rise, but you will never rise. Is God speaking to us? There are many of us who have struggled and we have done everything we know to do. By the privilege of God's grace, I have watched God use me to speak over people's situations, and I have been shocked myself
at the speed with which their life changed. Never fight alone. There is a prophetic backing. There is a spirit behind the success of people. There is a spirit behind favor. There is a spirit behind speed. There is a spirit behind breakthrough. There is a spirit behind influence. People will not just listen to you because you have something to say. There must be a prophetic backup. And by the privilege of God's grace and standing in faith together with your pastor, I believe God has sent me here this morning for New Heritage Baptist Church, because it's time to push someone to another dimension. If you believe, let me tell you something with the prophetic. Prophecy is a very sensitive operation in the spirit. It responds lavishly to honor, grace, and lavishly so given that grace for the sake of not just a generation and a people. Are we together? There are certain things that I want to do this morning, and one of it is to trust God for the grace that will come upon us and truly move us to a level where you yourself, the character of that grace is that it should make you surprised with your results. That you sit down and say, my God, you call pastor and say, pastor, please, I need to see you. What sort of breakthrough is this? And your pastor tells you, God told me he was bringing it. And if our God is for us, and if our God is with us, say it again, and if our God is for us, and who will ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? Prophecy can bring you a property you know nothing about. Prophecy can connect you to someone you've been trying to see for 10 years in one day. Prophecy can resurrect something dead in your life in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Are we ready to pray this morning? The Lord gave me an instruction years ago to carry a seed and to take to Canaan land to go and sow into the life of God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. I had seen results in my life. I had seen the grace of God in my life. And when the Lord gave me that instruction, I got up in the morning, got the available flight, and I went to Canaan land, went, sowed that seed. When I came out, people were there, everybody was doing his thing. I was going to enter the car, go back to rest for the night and leave the next day. And the Lord asked me to come out of the car. He said, kneel down on the ground there. And he said, put your hand on that ground. When I put my hand on that ground, the Lord told me, from today, you have entered overflow. It's true.
What are you turning to wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like into the darkness, say, into the darkness, you shine. Out of the ashes, you rise. There's no one like, none like, none like you. Your God is greater. Our God is greater.
Before we pray, listen, there are conditions to receive from a prophet of God. Number one, you must believe in the God that man represents. You must not just believe in God you must believe in the God he represents. That means the dimension of God that is revealed in his life. The God of Abraham is not the God of Isaac. He's the God of all flesh. But the dimension he reveals as the God of Abraham is different from what he reveals as the God of Isaac. The dimension that God reveals as El Shaddai is different from what he reveals as Sikenu. So you must believe in the dimension of God communicated to that vessel. Number two, you must believe in the person and the office of that person. I have been surprised that I stand before certain people to pray for them. Sometimes politicians, sometimes men of noble, repute, sometimes kings, and I am surprised that I want to pray for them and I don't sense the anointing crossing. You know why? Especially for politicians, and with all due respect, because I am just one of the many spiritualists around their lives. I don't mean to be, if you're a politician here, I love you, may God cause you to win whatever election or whatever it is you are involved in the name of Jesus Christ. But in all honesty, I stand and I find out, oh, my apostle, my man of God. And I know that this guy will see me now and then see another herbalist and Baba, sorry, a man of God was praying for me. I'm here. You know, there's no difference. And so the anointing doesn't flow because God is not a herbalist. Sometimes I wish I were not the one preaching this. I would also love to sit down and watch whoever carried this kind of anointing. It just so happens that by the election of grace and the privilege of his mercies, he has committed this to me. It's very uncomfortable teaching these kinds of things because it looks like pride. Especially because I'm a young man. Talking here to fathers, my mothers, I'm talking to my uncles, I'm talking to my colleagues and contemporaries. And so every time you begin to place a demand on the need for honor, it embarrasses you because should I be saying this to my mothers and my fathers? Why should I? Unfortunately, it's a spiritual law. It's an ordinance that not even your bias can violate it. The Bible says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. In the name of a prophet. That said, what do I do for you? Look at a prophet speaking. You would think it's pride. What do I? Should I talk to the governor for you? Say, I live among my own people. In other words, if I tell the governor, attend to this woman and she refuses, I say, okay, the grace that brought you there sends you out. Should I talk to the governor? I have that much spiritual influence. And he said, I live among my people. And the servant said, this woman is without child. And the prophet said, thank you. You have done something and there is a need for a prophet's reward. He never said, by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, according to the time of life, it is within my office given by grace to provide this possibility. It looks like error and heresy, but it's not a lie. That's why when God anoints a man of God and you misuse the anointing, it will still work, but you have scores to settle with God because you have abused the anointing. But for that result, it will work. There is something called a prophet's reward. The privileges of the possibilities that the grace allocated to him can provide if provoked through honor. When it was time for Isaac to bless his sons, he said, make me venison. If the goal was not food, create a system of honor to stir up the anointing so that I will bless you. And when he blessed Jacob, Esau came and he said, it has finished. How do you know the blessing has finished? What was it then? Were words finished? But he said, the blessing has finished. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to pray in one and say, Father, increase my life, upgrade me, open my eyes, whether it's in ministry. Let's go ahead and pray. You can bow your head, you can whatever position, just make sure you are praying. Lord, I acknowledge that where I am right now is not where I ought to be. You have brought me to this morning service. I cry to you. I cry to you. Oh God of my salvation, I'm tired of where I am. I can't live from hand to mouth in a place of plenty. Lord, my finances have been hijacked for years. What is the problem? I have prayed, I have fasted. Lord, my ministry has refused to grow. I am gifted, but there is no job. I graduated 13 years ago. No job in Lagos. Lord, why are my children not prospering? I love you, but my children are not prospering. Please pray this morning. Jesus is changing our life. A time must come in the life of every man when you are honest and you cry to the God of heaven. Lord, it is within your power. The Bible says, do not withhold good from him with whom it is due. When it is within your power, say not unto him, go today, come tomorrow. Our God is a benevolent God. It is within his power to give you breakthrough. It is within his power to wipe your tears. It's within his power for that contract to go through. It's within his power to change your son, change your daughter, change your life. It is within his power to upgrade you. It's within his power to heal, to deliver. That high blood pressure must not remain with you to the end of this service. No. It's within his power to take away that diabetes. It's within his power to take away that demonic sickness, whether it is cancer, whether it is whatever kind of blood disease. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oluwa etobi, etobi o, etobi. Oluwa etobi, etobi o, etobi. Koseni tano picha.
If you are sick in any part of your body, if you are sick in any part of your body, please, I want you to lay your hands there right now. I want to pray for you before I speak over all of us. It is a part of your body you cannot touch. Just lay your hand on your chest. I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray right now. And I take authority over the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare right now that the healing power of Jesus, let it flow from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke peptic ulcer. I rebuke rebuke any and all forms of blood diseases. In the name of Jesus. Believe it, I'm praying for you now. I rebuke rheumatoid arthritis. Any and all forms of diabetes, be healed now. In the name of Jesus. Lower back pain, abdominal pain, around the lumbar vertebra, I command healing right now. Every kind of lump, every kind of malignant growth around your body, I curse it now in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that anyone having any kind of demonic infection or whatever it is, I come against it in Jesus' name. Anyone here called barren, in the name of Jesus, return as a joyful mother of children. Migraine headaches, all forms of migraine headaches, be healed now. In the name of Jesus. Weakness of the body, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Pain around the neck, I decree under someone's life. I stand in the name of Jesus, the one who appeared to me and called me, and I decree and I declare that every dryness in this church, every dryness in this church, I bring it to an end now. Every dryness, I stand by this apostolic and prophetic mantle that God has given me. If I be sent of God, I decree to New Heritage Baptist Church, enter your season of strange testimony. Enter your season of strange testimony. Enter your season of strange testimony. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said, we were like them that dream. I pray for you. Between now and the next 90 days, I prophesy it upon this assembly. Between now and the next 90 days, every one member of this church return with a strange testimony. I don't care the door that has refused to open, and I don't care for how long it has been locked. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy, Ephata, be open now. Be open now. Everyone in this church called jobless, I decree, as surely as the Lord lives, between now and July, return with an honorable job. I pray for you. I don't know where your money has been tied down. You have done all you need to do to release it. But I stand by prophecy and I command your resources released to you. There are many of us here, you have been victimized for years in your place of work, in a place of influence. Like Mordecai, justice has not been administered you. But this morning, by grace, we open the book of remembrance, and I declare to you that everything you have lost, let it be restored double fold. Let me pray favor over your life. The distance between you and your breakthrough is who likes you, who God has made to like you, to arise to help you. If nobody likes you, you are in trouble in this life. I pray for you. I prophesy to the north. I prophesy to the south. I prophesy to the east. I prophesy to the west. Let God hear my voice. I speak to the spiritual borders of this city, wherever your helpers are. Beginning from today, I call them into your life now. I call them into your life now. Hallelujah. I want to release a grace for property and territory. Listen, there is a grace. Listen, listen. It is never God's idea for you to remain dependent on someone for life. Jacob told Laban, I'm a man, let me carve out a place. And Laban said, no, there are Labans in this life that will not allow young people to be established. There are some of us as parents here, we are still in rented apartments. There is no hope of building anything, but there is a grace. Oh, there is God that I know. There is a grace. I prophesy to you, between now and December 2018, I move you to your own property. And now and December 2018, new heritage. You have built a church. May God build your home. May He build your home. Listen, I'm not asking you how much you have in your account. And I'm not talking of borrowing money from a bank. By the finger of God, the raven that brought bread for Elijah, I command that God will raise helpers to surprise you. I want to pray for restoration. Some of us, the things we have lost in our lives, if it is not restored, then God is not fair. I pray for you. The Bible says, and I will restore. He said, is there hope for a tree even if it be cut off? He said, at the scent of water. I stand in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I don't care what has left your life and for how long. By prophecy, I command it, come back to them. Come back to them. Relationships, come back to them. Resources, come back to them. Hallelujah. If there is anyone here having a court case or anything that can smear your integrity, in the name of Jesus, by the finger of God, we vapor that case now. I pray for the young people in this church, the grace to be established fast. I release it upon you. The grace to be established on time, to come out of your parents' house and be established with honor. I release that grace upon you. Hallelujah. I declare, any spirit that wants this church to come for a funeral service to mourn the death of a member, in the name of Jesus, I declare, all earth hear ye the word of the Lord. I forbid you from taking the body of any member in this church. The Bible says, with long life shall I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I speak long life to you. Good health for you. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus. I don't know what projects the church is currently on. And all of you who have come, young and yielded people who have joined, join this prophecy. I will speak to you too. Whatever project this church is currently on, I prophesy the hand of Zerubbabel that began this work, that same hand will complete it. God is not only a starter, He's a finisher. In the name of Jesus, for all the men, fathers, uncles, and my brothers in this church, the grace that will make you men of honor, may that grace be released. Shame and reproach is taken away from every family in this church. I say it again, shame and reproach is taken away from every family. Finally, let me pray. There is a grace that calls people. I want to prophesy increase even in membership and access over this church. In the name of Jesus, I open the two lift gates of this church and I decree and declare. Jesus speaking in John 17, He said, all that you have given me I have kept, and none is lost except the son of perdition, that scripture will be fulfilled. Whoever has been called by God to be planted in this church and to grow and rise, wherever they are, I call them by prophecy. In the name of Jesus Christ, every business that is dying in this church, come back to life. Every career that is being threatened, come back to life. Every department and unit in this church, be blessed. In the name of Jesus. And I stand by the election of grace and by the message of God. And I pray for your dear man of God and his wife. In the name of Jesus, sir. By the message of God, I prophesy to you, sir, that you will begin to move in strange dimensions of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the deacons in this church. Every deacon will experience testimonies that will make them know that the God of new heritage is alive. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for other members that are diaspora. We pray for them wherever they are across this nation and the nations of the world, following, connecting, watching on YouTube and every other social media platform. We stretch our hands to you and we command, be partakers of this blessing. Now I pray for all my brothers and sisters who came to worship with this church, who came for Young and Yielded. In the name of Jesus, enter the next level of your life. Enter the next. In the name of Jesus. If there is anybody here having high blood pressure or stroke particularly, I curse it now and forever. New Heritage Baptist Church, go from glory to glory to glory to glory. I declare that you are a church with a difference. Even the community will reckon the hand of God upon your life. Let it be so. In the name of Jesus. Let's appreciate Jesus as we return back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, before I take my seat, I, on behalf of myself and my precious, precious team that came all the way from Zaria, I want to say thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma. I truly, truly honor and celebrate you. Thank you for 11 years or 9 at least. You have been very, very open to us even before God brought us to this level. And I truly, truly acknowledge you. And I ask that the Lord will bless you. And for the membership of New Heritage Baptist Church, this will be my first time appreciating you. You have been very kind, allowing us the use of your auditorium right from the old one. On behalf of Jesus Christ, on behalf of all those who put together Young and Yielded, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your trust. May the Lord bless you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the next time we will hear that God has lifted this church to another level. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Do you listen to WIG Radio? It's the best online radio with all-round gospel content. And it's live 24/7. Gospel of Entrepreneurship, Activas Airplane, Happy Hour, Kingdom Mondays, Praise and Passion. Let's talk about it. Morning Drive, Morning Gist, and lots more. On www.wigradio.com. WIG Radio. Our programs are set to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. You can call into our programs on +234 816 444 5960 and interact with us via twitter.com/WIG Radio or facebook.com/WIG Radio. Download WIG Radio mobile app for Android, BlackBerry, and Apple devices from different stores online. WIG Radio, reaching the world with good news, transforming lives globally.